Well, good morning. It certainly is good to see everyone here today. So glad you've chosen to come and worship the God of heaven. He's blessed us in so many ways, hasn't he? Just the most beautiful weekend God has given us. God is so good in so many ways. And when we come and assemble in these ways that we do on the Lord's Day and worship him, what we really do is express to him that we are dependent upon him and that we are appreciative of him, all his many good blessings, and that we understand we're accountable to him and that these are the things we should be doing, worshiping him in these ways, the way he wants us to, the way he commands us to. It's only right for us to do this. It's only right for us to express to him how awesome that we think he is, indeed that we know he is. Glad you're here with us today to participate in these things. We're going to be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read the first 15 verses of that chapter. If you would like to turn your Bibles to that particular book, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 15. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, or a like precious faith, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to most Christians. It certainly is to us. I've read these verses numerous times right here from this very pulpit. Even recently I've done that. And we've talked often about how God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, or to his glory and excellence. And how that Jesus himself had promised the apostles in John chapter 16. We just studied that Wednesday night. How that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was going to guide them into all the truth. And then how Peter, who was in that upper room that fateful night when Jesus made that promise, he was one of the apostles that Jesus made that promise to, how he says here in this passage that that promise has been fulfilled, that Jesus did send the Holy Spirit and he did guide them into all the truth, and we have it recorded for us right here in this Bible. And we've discussed God's precious and magnificent promises time and time again, and that's a good thing, isn't it? We cling to those promises, don't we? Aren't those the very things that keep hope alive in our lives when everything else just seems to fail us? Those promises that he's given us, that those of us who belong to him, that he has forgiven us of our sins and that he has saved us. And he promises us peace that surpasses all comprehension, and that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and that he's going to ease our burdens if we let him have those things, and that he'll relieve our stress, and that he'll take away our anxieties. We're to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And he won't give us anything more than we can bear, that we have the ability to deal with. And that if any temptation comes our way, he's going to give us a mean to escape that temptation if we so choose to take that escape route. And finally, if we're faithful to him, that he's going to take us home to heaven. Those wonderful, awesome promises. We cling to those so greatly. And we've talked repeatedly and recently about all those qualities that Peter said we need to be adding to our faith. Continually doing that. We need to be adding excellence or virtue to our faith, and knowledge and self-control and perseverance, which is also patience, and godliness and brotherly love and love, which is agape love. And sometimes you might even wonder, why do we study these same types of things so frequently? Why do we read them over and over and over? And you might come to services sometime and you might hear the preacher announce the verses that are going to be read, and you might think in your mind, you know, I know that already. We just studied that. You know, I understand what he's going to say here. So you might even be tempted to turn your ears off and to tune your brain out and start thinking about other things. Start thinking about today's activity and what you're going to have for lunch or what's going on at the house or whatever the case may be. I want to warn you to be careful about a thing like that. That we really need to take care that we don't do that, because Peter says in this oft-repeated passage in verse 10 that we just read, people who lack those qualities that we're supposed to be adding to our faith have forgotten their purification. In other words, we can lose spiritual ground because we are prone to be forgetful people. We forget things quite often. And that's why it's so important to be continually reminded of these things, of God's things, of His promises, and of His qualities that He wants in our life as Christians, and of all those other wonderful things that He wants us to remember and to practice and to share. Verse 12, Peter said, I am always ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in them. Peter considered it his personal responsibility, as long as he had a heart beating within his chest, to continually remind his brethren about these important aspects of God's Word, about these important truths, even though he had already told them and had told them oftentimes before, even though they knew them very well, or at least should have known them very well, even though they were established in them. He said in verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I am alive, to stir you up by way of reminder. In verse 15, he said he was going to be diligent to make sure he was doing this, so that when he was gone, so that when he shed that earthly tent, and what he's talking about is when he died, when he went on to his reward, that they were going to be able to recall these things, to bring these things to mind. They would be so firmly cemented into their minds because of Peter's continual reminders that they would be able to just remember them and to carry those things around with them, those promises, those commandments, all those blessings. I have a question for you this morning, and I think I know the answer before I even ask the question. Who in here has a perfect memory? Okay? No hands on that one, and that's a good, honest answer. Let me ask you this. Who in here remembers word for word the passage that we just read? Who in here can recite word for word just one verse of that passage that we just read? Who in here remembers the lesson topics or even the scripture verses that we discussed last week in last week's sermon? I'll be honest with you. I would have to stop and think for 3 or 4 or 5 or 20 minutes to remember them myself. And that's just the point. We need to stir ourselves up by way of remembrance. We need to continually remind ourselves of these things. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this person will be blessed in what he does. So what James is telling us and what Peter is telling us in this passage we read earlier is that we need to work on being faithful doers and not forgetful hearers. And the only way that we're going to be able to pull that off is to work on our memory, to work on our forgetfulness, to try to make sure that we don't forget these important things. Now, there are some great little tricks that people use to help remember things. Maybe you use some of these very techniques. Word association. And there's actually rhymes that we can make up to help us remember names and words and places. And songs that we can sing in our own minds. And there are visualization techniques to help us solidify certain things and names in our memory. But the best memory technique that I personally have ever found is reminder after reminder after reminder. In other words, repetition, repetition, Repetition. That just seemed to be the best thing that worked for me to help me remember things. Now that's the way it worked for me in school. Can anybody remember studying for tests at school? Some of us might not be able to remember that far back. It's been a long time ago. But if you can remember way back then, what did you need to do if you wanted to have a good grade on a test? What did you need to do if you wanted to pass with flying colors? You really needed to go over that material, over it and over it repeatedly to solidify that in your mind, to make that memory stick. Now, some people have remarkable memories. Some people even have photographic memories. And I have to be honest with you this morning, I am not one of those people. It doesn't work that way for me. I have to really study things and just have repetition on the material that I need to learn. One problem that we have as human beings is that our memory tends to play tricks on us. And often, you know, we'll remember the trivial things in life and forget the very important things. Does anybody else have that problem, or is it just me? We can remember a song that's on the radio. Maybe it played 40 years ago, and we can remember who sang that song and what year it was written there, what year it came out. And we can remember lines from that song. We can remember lines from movies. We can remember stars who played in those movies. But then we forget important things like a sister's birthday or a parent's wedding anniversary or what the Bible has to say about salvation or worship or the church or where to find these most important pieces of revelation. And sometimes we forget to do important things and we can remember trivial things. I can't tell you how many times that I've gone to the store for something important and I've come back with the candy. I remember to get the candy. And sometimes I pick up even junk that I wasn't intending to buy. I come away with stuff that I didn't go after. And then I come home and realize I've forgotten the important things. I forgot the medicine I was supposed to go get. I forgot the formula that I was supposed to pick up or some other important item. And that's just the way our minds tend to work sometimes. And our minds can even deceive us. If you think about it, we can remember things from bad relationships or bad situations that attract us back to that situation, to that relationship, and forget the need that we had to leave it to begin with. We forget why we needed to run away from that situation to start with. It's kind of like Israel. You remember how they came out of Egypt and they were tired of eating the bread, and boy, all they could remember was the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the watermelon, and oh, it was so great. And they completely forgot about the abuse and the beatings and the hard labor. It's so interesting to me that it quite often takes greater effort to remember the more important things than it does to remember the trivial things. I really don't know why that is. Maybe it's because the more important things in our life are just boring sometimes. Maybe it's just the least interesting of the things that we do in our life, the things that we need to remember. I don't know why it is, but let me tell you something about God's Word. There's nothing more important for us in our lives to remember than that. We need to learn it and we need to be able to remember it, to recall it so that we can live it out every day that we live upon this earth. It's so important for us to do that. We really need to just go over it and over it and over it. Even if we need to read the same passage of Scripture time and time again, if that's what it takes to lock it inside of our brains. Now, I want to spend the rest of this morning's sermon time discussing with you some things that God tells us particularly that we need to be reminded of. And we really have some interesting stuff here when you look at it in detail, the things that we can forget to do if we're not overly careful. Open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read verses 11 through 14. 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. For if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers." The Apostle Paul told this preacher Timothy about people he was preaching to. He said, remind them that if you deny the Lord, then he will deny you. So what he's telling us here is we need to be reminded that if we abandon God, God's going to abandon us. If we are unfaithful, God can't be unfaithful because His perfect and perpetual faithness demands that He let us go. And we go our own way. He'll let us do that. If we turn on Him, if we turn from Him, if we prove to be unfaithful in our relationship to God, in our worship of Him, in our obedience to Him, He is just going to let us go. Now, you would think you wouldn't have to tell people that, especially Christians, right? You would think that that was just such a basic truth that there would be no need for a reminder of such a thing. But experience has proven to me that just the opposite is the case. Experience has shown me that when people turn from God, they usually get spiritual amnesia afterwards. Most just seem to forget this passage and numerous other passages that tell us, look, if we're unfaithful to God, then He will abandon us and we'll be lost. Now, I've talked to people who've just given up on God for one reason or another. They've stopped attending worship services. They stopped coming to be with God's people. And look, that's a surefire indicator to let us know they have turned away from God. We really don't know what's going on in other people's lives most of the time. But one thing's for sure, if they're not coming to services, you could pretty much write it down. They're not thinking about God's things. They're probably not studying the way they're supposed to, and they're probably not praying the way they're supposed to. That's the surefire sign that they have moved on away from God. And I've talked to people who have been caught up in just some obvious sins. And that's the reason why they stopped coming to services, embarrassment or guilt for being involved in those kind of things. Or it could be other reasons. They could have just lost interest in God, preoccupied with other things. And I'll call these people up and I'll say something like, you know, we've really been missing you at church. We hope to see you real soon. And they'll say something like, well, you know, I've been really busy and just had a lot of other stuff going on. You know, I'll get there when I can. And then I'll say something like, well, you know, I've been worried about you. I've been worried about your spirit. I've been worried about your salvation. And I want to know if there's anything I can help you with. If there's any way I can help you with this situation. And the response almost invariably will be, oh, don't you worry about me. I'm fine. Something along that lines. You don't have anything to worry about with me. Everything's going great in my life. And I have to ask, well, how in the world could that possibly be? How is it that if you quit God, if you quit on Him, if you stop serving Him, that you can be okay? You are so not fine when you do that. You are so not okay when you drift away from the Lord. And they may say something like, well, you know, I still believe in Him. I still pray. I still study the Bible. And I'll say, that's good. I'm glad you're still doing that, but that's not enough. The Bible tells us clearly that we're to consider one another, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, so that we can stir one another up to love and good works, and we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Verse 25. Folks, that's a commandment. And if we forsake the assembly and we're not considering one another, not only have we turned our back on the Lord, we've turned our back on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, we've just gone back into the world if we do that. And we need to be careful about that. But more importantly, I'm looking at people who haven't done that. What we need to do is remind our brothers and sisters who have abandoned the Lord that they need to turn themselves around. They need to make their life right with God. If they stop coming to the Lord's house, then they have abandoned Him. And He will have no part with them if they are having no part with Him. And we need to let them know before they stand before Him one day in judgment. It's our duty to let our brothers and sisters know, those who have drifted away from the Lord and who are not faithful, it's our duty to let them know that their soul's in jeopardy. And we have to be reminded also not to turn on God and get angry with Him and get frustrated with Him, or even just get bored with Him when things aren't going the way that we want them to in life. Have you ever seen that happen to someone? Life just didn't turn out the way they expected it to, so they just turn their back on the Lord. It happens quite often. That was the case with Israel and with Moses. Once again, when God freed them from Egyptian captivity, Moses had to remind them over and over and over again, you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but God freed you. And he needed to do that to help them remain faithful. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 12, he said, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Deuteronomy 15:15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day to do these various things. So he's telling them, the next time you long for the good, bad old days, remember, God set you free. You were a slave. You don't want to go back there. And before you go and turn on the Lord or turn from the Lord, not honor His holy Sabbath day or not honor any other commandment of His, remember, you were slaves. And God brought you out with a strong arm. And He saved you and He guided you and He provided for you. And He's always so good to you. So don't turn your back on Him. Don't get mad at Him. And don't abandon Him when your life's not going the way you want it to. You know, people have the tendency to remember some of the most interesting things. Have you ever known someone who you just bent over backwards for? You did so many good things for. Maybe you helped them financially. You did some work for them. Maybe you did a lot of things for them. Maybe you cooked and cleaned for them. And you just helped them over and over and over again. But they forgot all those good things you did when you did just one thing that made them upset, right? You did one thing wrong and they forgot all the good things you did. And maybe it's that you refused to do something that they wanted you to do. And then they forgot all of those other things that you did that you didn't refuse to do for them. And then they never forget the thing you refused to do for them. And maybe they got so mad, they felt so betrayed that they didn't want to have anything to do with you after that. And maybe they didn't talk to you for weeks or months or years. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? You know what we need to be careful of, brothers and sisters in Christ? That we are not that way with God. We have to make sure that we don't treat God that way. Now, sometimes those people won't talk to you for weeks and months and years, or until they need another favor from you, until they need you to do something for you, whichever comes first. We have to be careful that we don't treat God that way. We have to remember His good things and never get mad at Him to the degree that we're going to turn our back on Him and abandon Him like Israel did. When things aren't going right in our life, when we're not getting just what we want in this life, when we don't like maybe one part of the Bible or another, maybe we read a passage that we don't feel too good about, maybe we don't like the way God dealt with a certain person or a certain group of people in His anger or whatever the case may be, we have to stir up our memory of His blessings, of how good He's been to us, how He freed us from the bondage of sin, and how He took us out of that old way of living and brought us into a better way of living. And you know what really helps in times when we're struggling like that? We need to verbalize that. We need to tell God verbally and audibly how good He's been to us and how appreciative we are of Him. Because saying those things, once again, it helps us remember. It concretes those things into our mind. It solidifies those things into our brains. We must remember we were slaves to sin and God freed us. And we don't ever want to go back to that misery. There's nothing good back there for us. One last passage of Scripture and we'll be done this morning. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Once again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to a preacher to tell him to remind the people of certain things. He said, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us." Now Paul told this preacher named Titus, he preached in the island of Crete. He told this young guy, he said, when you preach to them, remind them to obey the authorities, to obey the proper authorities. Now that's pretty amazing to me. Isn't that startling to you that you would have to tell a Christian to obey the authorities? In other words, you know what he's saying? Tell these brothers and sisters in Christ to obey the law, to not break the law, to not be criminals. Now, these Cretans, they had a reputation for being a pretty unruly sort, and I'll grant you that. Paul made this statement to people who had a tendency to misbehave and break the law. But unfortunately, some Christians today need to have this same kind of reminder. Need to be told to obey the authorities. Because look, sometimes we can just justify being disobedient to rulers and authorities. Cheating the government is a very popular sport in the good old U.S. of A. Have you ever noticed that? But I got to tell you something about Christians. We have to be different. But I know, even as Christians, we still can rationalize that the government takes away too much money from us as it is, so they don't deserve this, so I'm going to just fudge a little bit on my taxes, maybe. But I want to remind you that they are still the rulers over us, and we still are commanded to comply with their rules, to obey them, and to not cheat the government on our taxes. Even if we think they're cheating us, that's irrelevant. And sometimes we can rationalize that it's okay to work for some money and then not report the income, maybe for unemployment or whatever the case may be. Look, even if we think our greedy old Uncle Sam has his hands too far deeply into our pockets to begin with, it really doesn't matter, because we have to remember, we have to remind ourselves that we may not always like the government's method of governing, but we still have to obey it because they are ordained by God to do their jobs. And we are commanded by God to be obedient to their authority. But also, he said, remind them to be peaceable, gentle, and considerate. And once again, this is a reminder. He said, because we were once this way. We once behaved foolishly ourselves. We were once disobedient, deceived, and deceptive. We were once enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. We were once malicious ourselves and envious and hateful. But you know what, brothers and sisters in Christ? We are different now. We are so very different now from that person that we were before we came to Jesus Christ. Jesus changed us when He saved us. He didn't just save us. He made us into new people, brand new people. And He is so very good to us that He expects us, now that we belong to Him, to go around and just be so very good to other people. That's pleasing to Him when we imitate Him. And we got to remember that. We need to remind ourselves of that often. We need to remind ourselves every day by opening up this Bible and reading those verses that tell us the kind of lives that we need to live, the kind of people that we need to be, the way that we need to treat other people, the way we need to behave in this world so that God can be pleased with us, so we can bring blessings to other people, so we can help them come to the Lord Jesus as well, so we don't have that all for ourselves. And you know what? It's just fine if we have to read those verses over and over and over again. Don't have a problem with that. That's the way God designed it. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We'll sing number 197 to give you a chance to obey the gospel this morning. Now, if there are two things you've heard me say over and over and over again from this pulpit, is that you need to repent of your sins, and then you need to be baptized into Christ Jesus in order to have your sins forgiven. And you know what I'm going to keep on doing? I'm going to keep on repeating that over and over and over again, because it's just so vital to a person's soul's salvation. And I am not going to take a chance on anybody forgetting that. Anybody who hasn't done that, I want to beat it in your head that you need to do that. So that when I'm gone, so that when I'm no longer preaching here, or maybe when I'm gone from this earth, you can recall that to your own memory, how important that is. But if you stand in need to do that this morning, and you know it, we stand ready to help you. You come up here and talk to me about those things while we're standing and singing to your encouragement.